Good morning, Delaware. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's just going to be fun. It's going to be up in nice temperatures, a little sunshine, at least on today and tomorrow. So let's get out there and enjoy it, right?
I'm ready for it. It's going to be beautiful.
And I certainly hope Joyce tuned in early so she heard that song dedicated to her. So thank you, Mark Bingaman, for doing that. I really appreciate it. As I told him, it's not in lieu of a present. I did actually remember to buy her a present.
Thank goodness.
Yes. So we can't get over this story about the fight in Walmart with the frozen beef.
Who's got the beef?
I. So you apparently got involved in a story, or at least saw a story that was kind of interesting, too.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I am part of a online Facebook group of marketers who have a whole lot of fun sharing, you know, can you believe this? And he said what? And look at this and how they missed that typo. All those kinds of things that you would imagine in a Facebook marketers group. This one, oh, my gosh, had me in stitches for hours. It was actual sign on a Wendy's in New Jersey. They need some extra help and an exorcist, apparently. The sign reads, "We are short-staffed. Please be patient with the staff that did show up. There is a demon in the fridge. No one wants to work anymore." The comment thread on this has like 100+ comments. And as you go deeper, you just laugh more. And I'm crying, laughing as I'm reading this. It's like, I'm going to take a junior bacon cheese, hold the fridge demon. If I provide an exorcism, do I get like free junior bacon cheese for life?
Now we know what they did with Clara Peller.
Oh my gosh.
I love that.
Refrigerator
demon.
Fridge demon.
You know, we sometimes have our issues with the people who come in the library, but nobody has ever swung a 10-pound roll of beef at any of us, and we've never had a refrigerator demon.
Right. Well, we don't make weapons like 10-pound bags of meat available, but we do have some pretty hefty books.
That's true, yeah.
So,
yeah, watch out.
Don't be near a hefty book if you're going to be mad at someone.
So, in the second half of the show today, we're going to be talking about a new computer service that we have, a new overlay of our catalog. And Nicole has actually been spearheading this project, so she's going to be the one talking about that. I have to say, we had a really good meeting with the Friends Executive Committee yesterday, Michael Butler and I.
Great.
Yeah, talking about some ideas for the future for the Friends. Now that things are starting to get back into a regular sort of a normal sequence of events again. So what can we do? What can the Friends do for the library? What can the library do with the Friends? So it was a very good meeting. So. Mm-hmm. It's just it's so nice to see things starting to come back around. And in fact, next week's show, we are going to be talking about some changes that we'll be making in the library in response to some of the changes that have been announced by the Centers for Disease Control, the Ohio Department of Health, the Delaware Public Health District. And we've got a board meeting on Tuesday, so we'll present it to them first, and then we'll talk about it next Friday on the show. They're good changes. I think people will be excited to hear about them.
I think people will be very excited. I've let out a couple little teases here and there, and people are just giddy with excitement.
So it's good stuff. So so what are you reading, listening to, binging on these days?
Well, I started a book that I am actually very excited about, but I'm going to save that for a couple weeks from now. It came with high praise, and when I finally got a copy of it, it's really tiny type font and really thin pages, and like 600 of them. I'm like, oh man. Like I thought maybe I could have started I have a book club personally that I'm involved with, and I thought maybe I could have started this book on like Monday or Tuesday and had it finished, you know, for book club on Thursday if I gave myself a good couple, you know, chunks of hours. And oh my, no, it's not happening. So we'll save that one for a couple weeks. But, you know, in conjunction with what we're going to be talking about the second half of the show with this new catalog, one of the features that I think our public is going to love is there's a way for our staff to make kind of lists and book lists and have them all right there in a digital format so that as you're searching, you can see what lists are related to certain books, or you can find, you know, genres overall and things that our staff are recommending. You can also find a way that if you know like one staff member is really great at always recommending things, you can kind of follow that staff member. So I looked up a list that was made by our very own Megan Shoemaker. She is at the Orange Branch Library now as a reference assistant, a reference specialist. And she has put together a book with some very recent mythological fiction titles.
Ooh.
And these are books that I am so excited about. One is called The Gods of Jade and Shadow. It is by Sylvia Moreno-Garcia, And this is a Latin America take on kind of mythology and gods and also the Jazz Age. So wow. The Jazz Age is in full swing, but Cassiopeia Toon is too busy cleaning the floors of her wealthy grandfather's house to listen to any of the fast tunes. But nevertheless, she dreams of a life far from her dusty town in southern Mexico and a life that she can call her own. She's looking for it. This life seems as far away as the stars until she finds a curious wooden box in her grandfather's room. She opens it and accidentally frees the spirit of the Mayan god of death, who requests her help in recovering his throne from his treacherous brother.
Ooh.
So it's fun, right? Like yeah. You've got like Mexican Mayan mythology. You've
Some
also got
magical
the
realism.
Magical
there, yeah.
realism. You've got, you know, you've got the Jazz Age. Like, yep. How does that? I didn't even think I really realized that like Mexico or Latin America had like a Jazz Age, you know? So yeah, this is a really, really fun one. Gods of Jade and Shadow. That's on my to-read list for sure. Another one that kind of falls along those lines of like more modern mythology is called American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Have you read that
yes.
one?
I haven't, no, but it's probably his masterpiece.
My husband listened to it. It is a long one. Yes. I think like if you're going to listen to it like 20 some hours. So that's another one that you can't pick it up on a Tuesday and expect
right.
to have
good,
read by
good
Thursday.
If you're going to fly from Columbus to say, oh, I don't know, Melbourne, Australia.
Right, like Hawaii. Right, yeah. Maybe a couple layovers
yeah,
in there
right.
too. Yeah, American Gods. If you don't know the concept, there's a person who might kind of be a god, might kind of be a, I don't know, and he kind of meets up with a human and they kind of pal around. There's lots of things happening. My husband tried to explain it to me and I was like, what now? He really needed to draw me a map. But in only a fashion that Neil Gaiman can construct, it does all come around.
Of course.
It does all come yes. around. The other one that is really, really getting a lot of praise, and I think it's Circe. Is that how you would say it? C-I-R-C-E?
Circe, maybe? Circe? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, Circe.
There's lots of words out there that I can read but don't know how to pronounce.
Oh, my gosh. Like when I started Harry Potter, I thought that Hermione was Hermione.
Okay.
I mean,
that's what it looks like.
Close, right?
English is a terrible language.
Hermione, who's ever, right? Yeah. And then I saw the first movie and they were like, Hermione. And I was like, oh, okay.
I only knew that because of Hermione Gingold.
No, see, I had no help. So yeah, so Circe is by Madeline Miller, and she is the banished witch daughter of Helios. And she has to hone her powers and interact with the famous mythological beings before a conflict with one of the most vengeful Olympians forces her to choose between the world of the gods and the mortals.
Hmm.
So we're going into a little, Olympus is that Greek mythology, of
yes,
course, there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's just lots of really great ones on this list. And as you'll hear more in the second half of the show, this is going to be a feature I think our public will really like.
Thank you. And thank you, Megan, for doing that. That's great. We miss Megan at the Delaware Library, but we're glad she's at Orange and doing great stuff with the reference department, the adult services department there.
Yeah,
so
for
thank
sure.
you. So I also have a real doorstop of a book, but it is one of my favorite topics of all times anyway, so it's easy enough for me to enjoy it.
Your own personal 10-pound bag of meat.
Exactly, right. So don't cross
don't
me today.
Don't cross, George.
I will not bring this into Walmart with me. You know? Yeah, big books don't kill people. People kill
That's
people.
That's right. With big books.
But this book is called Hollywood Cartoons, American Animation in Its Golden Age. It's by Michael Barrier. This book is not new. I happened to find out about it because it popped up on Amazon one day when I was looking. So I thought, okay, it's, you know, $40 on Amazon. What can I do with the library? And of course, we had it in the Central Library Consortium. So the good folks at Bexley sent it to me.
Thank goodness.
And this is probably the definitive study of American cartoons from the Hollywood studios between the 1920s and the late 1950s, early 1960s. Michael Barrier has been a historian of animation for decades. He ran one of the first fanzines about animation back in the 60s and had a magazine that was published through 1982. He got a contract to write this book in 1972 and published it in 1999.
Okay.
He did some serious research, 200 interviews that he did. And because he started in the 1970s, most of the people he's talking about in this book were still alive to meet and talk with him.
Nice.
And he got some great interviews and got great insights into how Walt Disney and his brother Roy Disney started the Disney studios. He talked to Mel Blanc. He talked to all of these people who worked on the really well-known cartoons, the Warner Brothers, the Disneys, the Max Fleischer Popeye cartoons and things like that. But he also did the smaller studios that people may have forgotten about. Terry Toons, for example, which did Mighty Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the European studios like UPA that became, that did Mr. Magoo and things like that. This is a in-depth study. And he talks not only about the personalities and the cartoons themselves, but he talks about how they were created, both the technological side of it and how they got to the point where they could do animation in various ways, to go from kind of the chunky, clunky sort of things, like cutouts that they would move and do like almost primitive stop action, to the kind of art that was seen in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, or was seen in Gulliver's Travels that Max Fleischer did with the rotoscoping. So it's and of course the personalities, the anecdotes are all hysterical. There's great, great funny stuff in here. It goes up, like I said, through the 1960s because he was working on it right into the 90s. The afterword does include things like, he mentions, doesn't talk much about things like Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, The Simpsons, Ren and Stimpy, so some kind of more modern, and talks about how they kind of echo traditional animation, but they don't capture the same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really interesting book. They also have three places in here where they have little flip books in there, so you can make your own little cartoons and watch them while you're reading the book.
Neat.
So it is just a fun book. It's called Hollywood Cartoons, American Animation in Its Golden Age. Again, the author is Michael Barrier. He is now 80 years old. He is still writing about animation.
Wow.
And it's just a terrific introduction. There's a one by Leonard Maltin that's similar to this, but I think this one really goes into more depth, and I think is, if you're interested in Hollywood cartoons at all, this is probably going to be the definitive study.
A compendium. I mean, give yourself a moment or a month
to
read it.
And I noticed that I have three renewals on this from Bexley,
and
I'll probably use them.
Yeah.
So anyway, we will be back in just a moment with Nicole Falls to talk about our new BiblioCore overlay of our catalog. So stay tuned. And welcome back to Off the Shelf. We are here, Nicole and I, to talk about BiblioCore, which you hear that word once, you don't have to worry about it again, because it's basically our new version of our catalog.
Yeah.
We are testing it now with a select group of heavy users of the library. And how has the well, first tell us a little bit about what BiblioCore does, what it is, and then we'll talk a little bit about the responses that we've gotten from the public who've been using it.
Yeah, so giving you the like non-techie, non-jargony version of all of this that makes it really simple and easy to use is when you go to our library website, DelawareLibrary.org, you at the top of the screen you click in a search box and you put the name of a book that you're looking for, and that takes you to a different screen where you see all of the options that we have in what we call our catalog. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, it used to be a card catalog where you actually,
which I still occasionally
literally
say
leaped
wrong,
through,
like I did on the when I called into Mark this morning.
A
yes.
card catalog, yeah. Well, you know, it's old habits die hard, and everybody knows
and
what
I'm an old habit. So.
Everybody knows what it is. So you go and you type in the search box and you say, I want this book, and then the digital version of all of the copies of that come up, and then you place your request. That's called a catalog, and right now the way that we use it is that's through a third party software. That's through, you know, another company. So now what we're doing is we're transitioning to a different look. And that's where we're saying the name BiblioCore. And so this look, when you get your search results back, is going to be very similar to how you might search Amazon, mm-hmm. very similar to how you might search Wayfair. I mean, any sort of like online browsing that you do for shopping, Target, Walmart, anything like that, you'll notice that you'll see a lot of similarities. On the left side of the page, there are filters. There are ways that you can narrow your searches. One of the things that this new catalog is going to show you your search options is we've got a lot of different variants in there. So you can search by what would be good for this reading level of my child. What would be good for this genre? Like I think I searched for the right terminology, but I really want things that are in a horror genre, you mm-hmm. know? Like you could search a book, Roses Are Red, and you could get a beautiful Valentine's Day book, or you could get a really scary book, you know?
Let me just, before we go any further, this we're saying we're transitioning this, but we are still part of the Central Library Consortium.
Right.
So it's not going to take away the access to the other 16 library systems in the system. This is just a catalog. This is kind of like a new skin on top of the catalog you've been used to using.
Yeah, we call it an overlay. And so everything, functionality stays the same. All of your information stays the same. In fact, the group that's testing it right now, one of the common questions that we get and that we expect to get is, do I need a new username and ID? Do I need a new login?
Everybody needs at least 3,000-4,000 passwords to remember.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Make sure that you add it to your list. No. This, you can use your same barcode. You can use your same PIN. What this gives you is an option to go ahead and to add a username, because who can remember their 14-digit PIN unless you're a librarian or a super user,
right.
You know?
Yep.
And so there are some of those super users who are like, yeah, I remember 22363, blah, 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 blah. And they go on with the rest of their...
I can't even remember the phone number of my cell phone.
Oh, I mean, dear. So, yeah. That's probably... Take some B12 or Ginkgo biloba, I think, helps with that.
I'm beyond that. Brain transplant. So anyway.
I wouldn't recommend.
Depends on where you get the brain. If it's abnormal, I would say no.
No, yeah.
Go
yeah,
ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you can. You can change to a username that is just, it's me. And then you'll remember it. And then it'll be much easier than
you'll be hacked every week.
Yeah, exactly. So. It's me, 1234.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So this is what we're doing right now is we've sent an email out to about 7,000 of our users. And we've said, let us know your feedback. Like, tell us. We want to hear back from everyone about what you think about this. And as the weeks go on, this is going to become our official catalog. When you search right now on our search place,
yeah.
I'm like, what is the word? Our search line or search bar. When you search right now for that goes to what you're used to every day. But this will transition officially on June 14th. And so we're trying to get as much feedback as we can before June 14th so we can make sure all of the bugs are out.
Right.
So there'll be little bitty rollouts from here and there. So today you're hearing about it on the radio, and we're going to post the link in our show notes. And then next week, we're going to send it to a larger group of users, maybe users who have only searched our catalog within the past year or something like that. Because there are people who have a library card but haven't visited us in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll send it out to that group. We'll make sure that our educators see it. We made sure we got an email out to our library media specialists so that they could get a test of it. And then you'll start to see it on social media. You'll see a banner on our website. So we really want to make sure that we give people a lot of opportunity before, bam, June 14th, this is all you get.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, so where are some of the things you can do here that you couldn't do with the old catalog?
Yeah, so one of the really great things about this is we have, what I mentioned at the beginning of the show is we have recent staff lists. And so our staff have their own accounts within this system. And you'll see that their names are, you know, DCDL Wendy or DCDL Megan. And they'll be making staff lists. And so there's a page called Explore. And you can go to the Explore page and you can just look at some of these lists that both Delaware Library staff and Columbus staff have come up with. And you can see, for example, there are things if you liked lists. So if you have a kid who liked Dinosaurs Before Dark, which is a Magic Tree, I think it's a Magic Tree House book, then they've got some recommendations for what else your kiddos might like. The mythology one that I referenced earlier. We are going to have some fun with our summer reading club. Our summer reading club theme is Tales and Tales. And so we'll have some book lists. So this will be a really great way to see some of your library's recommendations right there where you're searching. So you can go ahead and place your request right now. The other thing that you can do is you can build your own lists on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
So your personal account, as you log into it, you're going to have like My Library Dashboard, and then you're going to be able to almost use this new catalog like you use Goodreads. If you're a user of Goodreads, you can have your shelf that you that you're currently reading in progress, that you're going to save for later, or that you've completed. You can also go ahead and create your own list just like the librarians are. You can say, this is my list of recommendations for really good bedtime stories, or this is my list of recommendations for maybe my graduate class that I'm taking, you know.
Yeah,
you can use it in a whole bunch of different ways.
Great books to help your three-year-old calm down after a day of Cheerios or something.
Exactly. Yes. Too much sugar, calm down. And you can title it whatever you want. They can be public for other users to see. They can be private for just you to see. You have all the control that you need as far as the privacy settings go for this catalog. So that is one of the things that I think people are really going to enjoy.
Now, you mentioned we can see Columbus lists. Do you want to talk about why you can see Columbus lists in here?
Yeah. So one of the reasons why you'll be able to see Columbus lists in here is because, as George mentioned just a moment ago, we are part of the Central Library Consortium. And so what that allows us is that means that we're kind of sharing this catalog together. And so right now it's just Delaware and Columbus who are using this product, this BiblioCore product for our catalog. But, you know, let's say that Pickerington joined in, or let's say that Bexley joined in, then we would start to see our other friends in the Central Library Consortium kind of join us and add their list too. But we're kind of all in it together.
And it's really nice because when you see something on one of the Columbus librarians' lists, that means you can get it through the Central Library Consortium and have it delivered to whichever of our libraries that you use.
Right. Right. One of the other questions that we're getting that I think people are going to be excited about is our current catalog really isn't user-friendly if you use Libby or if you use digital audiobooks or digital downloads. And a lot of times what our users found when we transition to the catalog that we're currently using is that I want to click on this ebook, but then I can't check it out. I can't port it right over to my Libby account.
Right.
And this will allow you to do that.
Oh, that's a big time saver.
It'll be really, really wonderful. There will be one very small, ever rare occurrence that there will be a book that's available, you know, only in a different consortium, in the digital downloads, which is what Columbus subscribes to, but not in the Ohio Digital Library. And in that case, you'll go in circles and circles, and so you'll just call us.
Yes, or the other thing you can do is register for a Columbus card, too.
You could do that.
And then you could have access to that. You just have to sign out and sign back in as a Columbus user.
Right.
That's kind of a nuisance, too. But, yeah, you can always call us for help with this.
And you could say, hey, you guys should buy this in the Ohio, you know, Ohio Digital Library. And
right.
We'd say, okay.
Yep. We frequently say yes to things like that.
We do that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, when somebody actually tells us they want something, we almost always will get it because at least we know we got one person who wants it.
Right.
You know, when we order stuff in a vacuum, we don't know if anybody's going to really like it or not. So, I mean, we can guess that certain authors are always going to be popular, but, you know, actually knowing Mary Smith would like this book means we got at least one customer who wants it.
And it's incredibly, it's incredibly helpful feedback. And speaking of feedback, there is a lot of opportunity for you to give your feedback on this site. But the one thing is you should be logged in. So you should add in your barcode, add in your PIN, scroll down to the bottom of the screen and any screen that you're on, and you'll see a pink button or a maroon or magenta button that says submit feedback. And that button, when you submit your feedback, you can do anything from I love it to I hate it to I really want you to have this book. And that comes directly to my inbox. And I have replied to at least 36 of them over the past 2 days.
I've been looking at the input that we've been getting, and it's been overwhelmingly positive. And I think there's a, you know, and even when there's issues, sometimes it's user error, sometimes it's things that really are an issue with BiblioCore, but we need to hear all of them.
Yeah.
So that we can address those and work with our provider to get it as useful as possible.
And it helps us know what's a teaching opportunity too.
Right.
If we hear the same comment over and over again, that's either a teaching opportunity or a bug fix, and we can go either way with it.
Exactly. So, okay, we've got just a couple of minutes left. So what's going on at the library this week? I know we have the virtual teen job fair continues.
That's right.
So who is your company of the week?
Oh my goodness, you caught me off guard. I don't have my tab open.
Well, then that's all right. I can talk about anything else that's going on. As I mentioned, there will be a library board meeting on Tuesday night. That'll be available on our Facebook page if you want to watch. We're still doing them virtually, so it's a very easy link. Just go to the library's Facebook page and you'll find us there. We've got a couple of the things from Centero this week, a Parents Stay Positive event on Tuesday night, and a workshop coffee talk on Thursday afternoon. Those are available on our events page and require registration.
And those ones have a special new thing that they're adding this quarter. The coffee talk is, if you register for that, they will send you, it's either a $5 or a $10 Starbucks gift card in advance of once you have completed the program for you to go and get yourself
and get your
a cup coffee. Of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just what you need if you're a stressed out parent.
Oh my gosh, I can use all the coffee. Okay, the employer of the week. I haven't talked about Olivina Tap Room yet, have I?
No, you haven't.
Olivina Tap Room is located in downtown Delaware on South Sandusky Street, and they hire at age 17. And so they are looking for retail sales and kitchen help. And I tell you, it will be wonderful if you work there because it will be tasty.
Yes, it will. So, all right. So we will be back next week. We'll be talking about some of the changes that we'll be making in June as far as lifting some of our COVID restrictions that we've been under. And I think you'll find a lot of interesting things coming out of that. I think, is there something else, another guest we got next week, or is that what we're going to focus on?
I think we're talking about Molly.
Oh, yes, we are.
I think we were talking about Molly.
That's right.
Get ready.
So thank you very much, Gage Tellis, for running the board. We always appreciate that.
Sure,
Nicole,
thing.
A pleasure.
Always.
Our big thanks to the Friends of the Library, and we look forward to seeing you in the stacks.